cheer up, Jesus is coming again. And that's the promise that He gave in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in this passage, He also tells you the way to the Father's house. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. And when they said, well, can you show us the Father? He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Stating that He is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. He is the brightness of the express image of God Almighty. And He is the way to God. So tonight I pray that you truly know salvation in Christ alone, through faith in His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. There's nothing more wonderful than to know that you're saved. Now, just to kind of give you a little bit of review, the promise here is that Jesus is going to come again. He doesn't tell us when that's going to be. We just know, according to His last words of warning about His coming, and it was really not a warning, but an announcement in Revelation chapter 22, where He said, behold, I come quickly. That was really His last words. I'm coming quickly. And it's been 2,000 years, basically. And it could be tonight. Do you believe that? Do you believe that no man knows the day or the hour, but that Jesus could come tonight? I really believe that He could come tonight. And what's going to happen is, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is that the dead in Christ, those whose bodies have been buried, their spirits are with the Lord. And what's going to happen is the dead in Christ, there'll be a resurrection of the just. And they will be raised from the dead. They'll receive their glorified bodies. And we which are alive, there's going to be people alive when Christ comes again in the air. And He's going to, we call it the rapture, even though the word is not used in the Bible. The idea of Him catching us away is clearly stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I believe that when He does this, in this rapture and resurrection, that He's going to take us to the Father's house. Now, again, I read the book of Revelation, and there are 2 3.5-year periods that make up the great the tribulation. It's a 7-year period marked halfway point by the abomination of desolation. Now, I believe that tribulation is going to be going on this earth while we're in heaven, while we're in the Father's house, in our glorified bodies. And we are also, I think that's when the Lord is going to cause us to pass before the Bema Seat, where we'll have to face the Lord, not for our sins, but for our service. What we've done, why we've done it, and we'll receive rewards. All that's going on in heaven while the tribulation period is going on the earth. Now, when we leave the Father's house, okay, because we're coming back with Jesus, the saints in Revelation 5, I quoted it last week. I hope you looked it up. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. The glorified saints make the declaration that we shall reign with Him on the earth. So, they're in heaven with their glorified minds, glorified bodies, the armies of heaven. They realize that when Jesus comes back to the earth, they're coming with Him. And we're going to be part of that. Isn't that glorious? To think that we're going to come back and see Jesus defeat all of His enemies. So when are we coming back with Jesus? We're going to come from the Father's house in heaven, back to the earth. We're coming back at the end of the tribulation period. And this event is commonly referred to as the second advent. Let me give you a couple of verses that are time verses. I don't know if I've gone over this yet, but I think it's important because it clearly states when this is exactly what's going to happen. The time frame. All right? You know where I'm saying? Matthew 24. Let me get back here. Matthew 24. And look at verse 29. Notice the time words. Words that are time related. Immediately after. So it's telling you when this is going to happen. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, here's another time phrase, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. This is when Israel is going to be saved. This is when the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel, are going to look upon Him whom they have pierced. They're going to mourn over their sins. The Spirit of grace and supplication is going to be poured out on them. They're going to be regenerated and given the gifts of repentance and faith. And it says, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That did not happen in 70 AD. Let's just finish that right now. And notice what is associated with this. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. I believe that there are elect survivors of the tribulation people. People who were saved during the tribulation. And they're going to be gathered for what? They're going to be gathered for the judgment of the nations. Look over at chapter 25. Same kind of time frame. Okay? Verse 31. Now remember, we're coming back with Jesus. We're going to witness this. Verse 31 of Matthew 25. When? Again, another time word. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. I believe it's in Jerusalem. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. By the way, this is not the great white throne judgment. This judgment occurs on the earth. It's the judgment of the nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You're My elect, you're My sheep, you came through as believers. Now you're going to enter into millennial glory, and we're going to enter in with them. I believe they'll probably receive their rewards there. So this gives you an idea when this is going to happen. Now, who all's part of this? Well, all the saints are coming back with Him. Look over at Jude 14. Now this Jude 14 goes right along with Zechariah 14, verses 5 through 11. But look here at Jude. Remember, we're coming from the Father's house with Christ back to the earth. And it says here in Jude, if I can ever get there, all right, Jude, look at verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. To what purpose? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. We're coming back with Him, and He's going to judge and make war. Look at Revelation 19. All these verses go right together. We're coming from the Father's house, back to the earth. We're going to be with Christ. He's going to judge and make war. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open. That's where we were, at the Father's house. And behold, a white horse, and He that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth He judge and make war. That's Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Who is that? John 1:1. Jesus. And the armies, that's you and me, with all the glorified saints and all the armies. Let's see. I lost my place there. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Those are the glorified saints. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Where do nations exist? On the earth. We're coming back to the earth. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're coming back with Him to reign and rule. And at the end of the 1,000-year reign, you say, well, where do you get the 1,000 years? You know where I get the 1,000 years. Revelation 20. First seven verses, it says 1,000 years six times. Amillennialists, and by the way, here's what I think of. Amillennials. I can't take it. They say, well, that's not literal. Okay, real problems here. Are you going to say Satan's not literal? Because he's in Revelation 20. Are you going to say Jesus is not literal? He's in Revelation 20. Are you going to say the great white throne judgment is not a literal judgment? Because all that subject matter is in the context of Revelation 20, where everything is literal. So yeah, I do believe Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with Christ on the earth. We're coming from the Father's house to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years is over, the next major event will be the great white throne of judgment, where the unjust dead are resurrected and brought before Christ to determine their place in the lake of fire. And what happens after that? Again, all this stuff's... We're coming back to the earth. We're going to reign for... And by the way, it's going to be the most glorious, wonderful, spiritual time that this earth has ever known. God is going to fulfill the purpose that He designed for this earth during the millennial reign. The King is going to reign in a sovereign theocracy. And people are going to love it. And all nations are going to worship Him. Now, what happens after the great white throne judgment? Well, there's going to be a purgation of the universe where He's going to burn up with a fervent heat. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about that. All right? And everything that defileth is going to be burnt up. And He's going to make a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Revelation chapter 21. Now it's interesting, after the purgation of the universe, in chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The New Jerusalem appears to be the dwelling place, if you read through the chapter, through the eternal ages, to the Lamb's wife, or His bride, which I believe is the Lord's church. Now, there people will have access to go in and out of the city. But there will still be people on this new heaven and on this new earth. In fact, I believe Israel will be on the... they're going to possess their land according to the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham. They're going to stay in their land as an everlasting possession. Now, I'm not dogmatic about that. But could it be, you know, is there a distinction between the Father's house in heaven that we left to come to the earth to reign with Christ and the dwelling place of the Lamb's bride, the New Jerusalem? And could that be the place that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you"? When He was talking to, really, in essence, His first church. In John chapter 14. Now again, I'm not dogmatic about that. Or some people say that the mansions in the Father's house denote abiding places. And wherever God is, we're going to abide with Him. But that's the best I got to try to answer the question about the mansions in heaven, what their function is. And I tried to show you when we're going to leave the Father's house in heaven and what we're going to do. We're dismissed. No, we're not dismissed. We've got to pray. We've got to have closing prayer first.